Hello, this is Brian Wappler with another episode of the Chasing Tone Podcast, the podcast about guitars, amps, effects, as well as a healthy dose of interesting off-topic discussions. Joining me again today is Blake Weiland from the Tone Mob Podcast and the Tone Mob YouTube channel and the Tone Mob Instagram. Just the Tone Mob, basically.
Yes.
He is the owner of Tone Mob.
It's a weird thing because it does sound like there should be more than one of me. But it's just me. On Instagram especially, people are like, thanks, guys. I'm like, it's just me. It's just me over here. No other person. But I guess the Tone Mob is all of us. We're all in the mob of tone. And that's the point, I suppose.
So how is your YouTube channel coming? I know you had to take a break due to the fires we've talked about for a few weeks now. Which apparently you're not in evacuation now, so that's good.
Yeah. So we got out of any kind of level of evacuation, which is nice. So we're just in normal, whatever that means in 2020. And we are slowly like unpacking everything. Of course, I got the Junior back out of the truck as soon as I could and put it back into safety. But yeah, that obviously impacted my whole, I'm going to do 30 videos in 30 days thing. And then in addition to that, once we were, you know, safe and everything, my internet went out for a day, so I couldn't post a video that day either, which was cool. So yeah, I'm really not doing 30 videos in 30 days anymore because I lost like whatever it was, four days or 5 days or something.
30 videos in 40 days.
That's right. It's a little less. I don't know what I'm going to do. I thought I was going to like tack on like extras at the end of the month or something. I don't know. But in all reality, it's starting to become, and you've probably seen this coming, it's starting to become problematic with the amount of time that it's taking up.
What do you mean?
I have other things to do.
Oh, you mean you can't get your real work done?
I can't get my other things done, and it's starting to run into, like, you know, life problems, where it's like, hey, I thought you were going to fix this, you know, sink that's leaking or whatever. And it's like, I don't have time. I need to be on YouTube. And it's, you know, getting kind of ridiculous. So I think what I'm going to do is just keep doing what I can. And I'm going to ride out the rest of the month, trying to get one every day for the rest of the month, as long as nothing crazy happens.
Dude, I hear you. I'm
going to keep doing it. I've done the last 2 days. I've had a video out. So it's I'm still cranking them out there, and it's working really well. Like, the response has been really great, and the channel is still really tiny because it's a new YouTube channel, but it's grown as a percentage quite a bit since I started doing this. So, yeah.
It's hard, man. I remember at one time, I think I was doing like 2 videos a week, and it just got like, it got to the point where I just stopped designing. I stopped doing any productive work. I was always in a state of looking up topics, filming, and editing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after about 9 months, I'm like, you know what? I probably should work a little bit more on releasing circuits.
Right. Exactly. Like, really do have other things to do. But what this did show me, it's like, it showed me what my, as far as like being by myself and producing everything myself, it really did show me what my limits are. You know, I wasn't really sure. I knew I had more in me than what I was currently putting out, but I wasn't sure how much more. And it showed me, like, okay, you can probably reasonably do one video a week, one video every week and a half, and still be able to maintain everything else you have to do. And I'll be okay with that. But this video every day thing, I knew it wasn't going to be sustainable, and I knew it was going to be really hard, but it's actually harder from a time perspective than I even expected it to be, which I think I said last week.
It makes me wonder, like Casey Neistat, for example, he just restarted his blog again every day. And as I'm watching this, I mean, it's way more cinematic than anything you and I do, way
right.
more. And I'm like, how would you even have the time to have a family with kids and a business, or in his case, multiple businesses, and basically record a 7-minute movie every day? and edit it. Like, how do you do that without just a team of people behind you? Maybe he's got a team now. I don't know. But at one time, he just basically stopped sleeping for 2 years. you know, which is not quite the healthiest way to do it. But
I mean, surely he's got a team of people that help him with that. I mean, you still have to be present and in the video, though. So you got to imagine for a 7-minute video, his average shoot, you know, and he does crazier things, like you said, than you and I do. So his average shoot's got to take at least a couple hours minimum.
I will say they're kind of boring now compared to what they used to be, I think. I mean, now he's living in L.A. He's not in New York City anymore. And it's like, well, this video is about us going to the grocery store. And it's just, I mean, it's done well. There's just kind of no point to it.
I haven't watched the new ones. Maybe that's how he's doing it. He's just fitting it in around his normal activities.
It seems like he is. He's just really good at capturing cinematic footage. And maybe he's handing it off to someone who's like, here's a pile of poop. Polish this.
Edit this up for me.
Could be. I don't know. But
it's hard. I mean, I can definitely tell you that, like, if you want to fast track a YouTube channel, doing a video every day is the way to do it. I mean, as long as they're, you know, reasonable quality. Like, I don't do the best videos, but I try to do the best I can. And I mean, you'll see it. Like, every time you post a video, it's like, oh, okay, there's like 4 or 5 new subscribers, you know, because I'm still starting from, like I said, very, very small in YouTube terms, you know, practically non-existent. And so it's really interesting to see. And it's also interesting to see what types of videos do what. So I did an unboxing video, which we can, this will segue nicely into one of our topics we wanted to talk about. I did an unboxing video for this Squier Cyclone. I didn't actually know what it was. I knew that Fender was sending something for a giveaway that's coming soon that you know about, but we haven't ironed out all the details yet. Stay tuned for that, people. They sent this thing to me, and I was like, well, sure, send it to me, and I'll do a video on it before I send it out, because normally I'm just having all the companies send the winner the thing. And I unboxed this Squier Cyclone, and it did, like, 3 times better than, like, a regular pedal demo or something. It was kind of obscene, because I don't like unboxings. Not that I don't like them. They're just boring. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm really not a fan of them either myself.
Yeah. But either the YouTube algorithm, and well, it's not just the YouTube algorithm either, because when I posted the empty box on Instagram, I was like, here, if you want to see what was in this box, go click over to this link. And the click over was way higher than, like, you want to hear what this sounds like? It was ridiculous how many people went and watched the unboxing video compared to something that takes way more work than an unboxing video. That was the easiest video I did. It was done in like an hour and a half.
I used to think that whenever I did the overall circuit videos, that those would be the easiest. And in some way, they kind of are, because I don't have to do a lot of research, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if I'm looking up, I don't know, 9 ways to use an EQ pedal or something. I mean, I'll think of a few here and there, and I'm like, huh, okay, that's 6. There's got to be some other things that I'm missing, you know. I'm like, all right, how do other people use this? I'm sure some others have an idea that, you know, maybe I can twist it and tweak it and kind of make it my own. You know what I mean? Like, for example, I'm trying to think of a good scenario. Using it like a treble booster, you know? Mm-hmm. That was something I've never done, but I saw somewhere where someone was trying to use an EQ pedal like a treble booster, and I'm like, no, it's not going to work that way. It doesn't work that way. That's not how EQ pedals work. And so that, you know, so that kind of, that actually spurred a whole different topic aside from 9 different ways to use an EQ pedal just by researching. But whenever I'm doing the circuit stuff, it's just like, all right, well, we're going to talk about this overdrive, and I can pretty much sit down with a piece of paper and draw the schematic out, you know, from memory. So that'll be the easy part. It ends up being like the longest part because now I'm drawing it and I'm doing spice simulations of it, spice simulation means like circuit evaluations and frequencies and stuff. But I'm doing that for each different stage, and it just ends up taking 10 times as long. So fun videos to make, but man, it kills time like crazy. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I feel like I've done a video about every topic I could possibly think about. And yet we still have people that swear up and down that my TS9 versus TS808. What was the comment I saw? I think it was last week. Someone's like, oh, dude, you could totally hear the TS808 has way more gain. Way, way more gain. I'm like, you're an idiot. The changes between the two, that's not even in the gain stage.
Right.
How are you possibly getting more gain? It's, how do you think it's getting
bro,
more gain?
Bro, it's getting more gain. Bro, it's getting more gain.
Okay? Yeah, it's like, my ears don't lie. And I'm like, neither does math. Neither does math.
And actually, ears can lie.
Ears can lie. Ears can be very misleading.
Ears and eyes, especially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see something that's different. You see a pink, you know, overdrive pedal, and you see a green overdrive pedal. They're both DOD 250s inside, and one will sound magically more like a Tube Screamer because it's green. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm not immune to that. I've said that before. Like, I definitely have picked things, like, all things being equal, I'll pick the prettier one. The one I like aesthetically better, I'll somehow think it's better. No one's immune to that.
We'll be right back.
Is real music dying? What even is real music, and who are we to judge that? Well, my father is a lifelong musician, and together we've been making music for over a decade. In our new podcast, we dare to ask the urgent, the weird, and the deep questions, and we have a lot of wild stories to tell. No matter what genres you enjoy, whether you're a musician, a producer, or a listener, we invite you to discover unconventional perspectives on music. So tune in and go follow Mad Makings of Music wherever you listen to podcasts.
That is true. That is, I mean, that's the whole reason why everything, why marketing departments spend huge budgets on making the product look cool, right? Mm-hmm. If not, everything is being a plain white plastic box. Everything looks like an apple, the product.
Not the fruit. Everything looks like a Red Delicious. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's a weird thing, but, you know, it's been very eye-opening. You know, nothing like revelatory, like, oh, I didn't see this coming. I didn't really see the unboxing video thing coming, I guess, but it's been a really strange experience. And my wife was like, maybe you need to not do this. I'm like, I'm not going to do it forever. I just got like a couple more weeks. And I was like, oh, geez, I got a couple more weeks. But yeah. But that Fender Cyclone, anyway, enough YouTube right. chatter. That yeah. thing is cool.
No more Tube Screamer talk.
That's right. The Cyclone, a lot of people probably didn't know what I was talking about when I said Squire Cyclone, but basically it's a mashup of a Mustang, a Stratocaster, and it's got like Jaguar controls on it. So
right.
you've got a Mustang body with the 24 3/4 scale length with Strat pickups and tremolo system, or vibrato, or whammy bar, whatever you want to call it. And then the like basic master volume, master tone of a Jaguar. And then each pickup is switchable on and off independently. And it is a very cool guitar. I said in the video, I did an unboxing, and then I did an actual like review / demo on the guitar a couple days later. And the guitar's fit and finish, you think of Squire, you know, especially those of us that like played them in the 90s, and it's kind of like, yeah, they work. They're fine. Little, you know, jankety things. This thing is really nice. Like, the fit and finish on it's really good. And it's a very good instrument. It's, I think they're $399. And they're worth every bit of that, in my opinion. I was really shocked with how good this guitar is. I pulled it out of the box, tuned it up, and it is like, wow, this is a fantastic instrument. It's really good. A lot of fun.
That's one of them I don't have that I've actually been wanting. And I think it part of it's because, you know, me and Telecasters, we kind of have this love thing going on. But But yeah, I mean, that's as far as offset guitars, that would be like the perfect offset guitar for me. Normally, I'm not that big of a fan of them. I mean, they're okay, but I just don't love them as much as the Telecaster.
What I like about it, well, there's lots of things I like about it, but I'm not a big fan in general of Strat aesthetics. I like some things about it, and there's certain models that I really like, but just looking at a Strat is not the most attractive looking guitar to me. But I like the Strat pickups and everything, so it's kind of nice to get that Strat sound in a non-Strat body. That's very pleasing to me. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you. I mean, Strats, I respect Stratocasters.
Yes.
I respect them. I'm just, you know, we can be friends, but we can't be lovers.
That's right.
It's one of those things.
That's right. That's right. It's like I got a lot of respect for T-Pain, you know?
That's right.
But I'm not going to listen to him every day.
It's very similar to that. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I do like Strat tone.
I love it when others play Strats.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I like playing them even all right. I just don't like looking at them. I know that's very shallow. I just don't think they're the most attractive guitar. Maybe it's because they're so ubiquitous.
It could be.
But then again, you would say that I'm a huge Les Paul fan, and it's not like those aren't ubiquitous. So I don't know what I'm talking about.
So with me, it's not the looks. It's really, I hear other people playing, I'm like, that sounds so good. And I pick one up, and just internally, I just feel like, I wish this sounded more like a Telecaster. Seriously, I've got several Strats, and I always, I don't know, I quit changing pickups when I realized that I just was trying to get it to sound more like a Telecaster all the time.
Right.
You know, I'm like, it needs more mids, more honk to it, you know, less sparkle. So, I mean, like I said, I love how other people make them. I wish that we gelled together, but unfortunately, we can only remain friends.
Yep.
Stratocasters and I.
I get it. Ooh, I was thinking of something about you the other day, speaking of all this Squire stuff. In this Paranormal series, which is what the Cyclone's from,
yeah,
they have a baritone Telecaster, and I was like, I wonder if Brian have a baritone guitar?
I don't. I do not.
That might be a good one. These new Squires, man, I'm telling you, they're really good. Not just for the money. They're just really good. You might want to check that thing out.
So on a baritone guitar, help me out here. Is it pretty much tuned like the bottom string is G? The thickest string, I should say.
It depends. You can do it in any number of ways, but like tuning it to B standard is pretty normal.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is, I can't ever remember. I always have to look it up because I'm dumb and I don't remember. But yeah, it's B to, what is B standard? People are yelling at their car radios or their headphones right now. You moron! Let's see.
Well, I've only played like one baritone for a minute, and it was in standard tuning. I remember that because I was just playing regular chords, but it sounded like it was, you know, like a fifth.
Okay, here you go. I was off. There was one note that I would have gotten wrong if I would have tried to go from memory. It's B E A D F sharp B.
Look, from the fattest string to the highest string.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, and I'll often do that and then, like, drop the A, you know, for those chugs.
So you're preferring it to be an open tuning then?
No, that's not open. Yeah, that basically lets you play standard fingering.
I'm thinking of it differently then. I was thinking you meant it was tuned like, okay, I got you. I'm with you now.
Well, if I drop the A, it's just like dropping D on standard tune.
Right. Right, yep. Yep, I'm with you.
So it lets you, what's really nice about that is it lets you play all your standard chord shapes and stuff, and so you don't have to get used to a new instrument or anything. It just gives you that deep, low, yummy sound that I just love so much.
Right. Yeah, I don't have one. I probably should at some point. Honestly, we don't have a lot of customers that play them. I mean, I know in other circles are wildly popular, but Most of our customers are still playing like the big three, you know, Tellys, Strats, Les Pauls, and well, big four now, and Paul Reed Smiths.
Right.
You know, that's the biggest bulk of our customer base.
Well, I've told you this before, but the Velvet Fuzz with the baritone guitar is just so good. It's so beefy. It works. Actually, that's what I did in my Terraform Doom video. I used the Velvet Fuzz with my baritone, and it just sounds so thick and burly. So you accidentally made it work for baritone just fine.
It was a happy accident then.
Yes, it works great. I have a feeling that the Leviathan would probably do well with it as well, but I haven't played it in a long time.
Same with me. It's been a while. I mean, it should, in theory, should be just fine. But yeah, that's one I haven't played myself for quite a bit. Not really. I don't know. I've been playing a lot of different fuzz circuits, but I haven't been playing my own that much.
It's like not listening to your own podcast. I almost never listen to these because
it's exactly like, yeah. I mean, when we record these, I literally forget what we've talked about like the next week. I have very little recollection of what we talked about the previous weeks, and I, you know, like you, I don't go back and listen to them for my own enjoyment. So
no, I don't listen to Tone Mob episodes generally either, unless I like get done and I'm like, man, that was really good. I want to hear that again. And most of them are like really good, but sometimes there's like a really standout episode. Like I have one coming with Aisha from a small pedal company called Low Sounds. We talked for like 2 hours, and it was like, it felt like 20 minutes. You know, it was like we were just gelling so well. And she's really cool, doing some really cool stuff. But it was just, like, I know, like, we had to just be like, oh, yeah, we got to go. Like, it's whatever time it was. And so those are the ones I will go back and listen to when the time slips away. Because it's just, like, those are the really fun episodes. I'm excited for that one to come out.
When is that coming out?
Probably be 2 or 3 weeks from when this episode drops.
So. You said Low Sounds?
Yeah, L-O-E. She does a lot of, like, she talks about it on the episode, but she does a lot of, like, reclaiming stuff. She works in, like, eco-salvage. And so she'll, like, you know, be in charge of cleaning up sites or whatever. I'm not exactly sure how it works. But she'll, all the time, she'll, like, find random electronics. She's like, oh, yeah, I know this old thing from the 70s has these germanium transistors in it that I can use. And she'll, like, pull stuff out of old equipment and use, like, old answering machines and stuff to put circuits in. And it's really cool. I like what she does. And she was really fun to talk to.
Yeah, I've never heard of her. Which, I mean, isn't a bad thing. I don't usually go out searching for new pedal builders. But, yeah, she's doing some really cool stuff.
She's been around very unique. For a little while, but not. She's still, I think, somewhat new-ish. Not to music. She's been doing music forever. But I think she's kind of new to Instagram, or new-ish to Instagram, maybe a couple years or something. I don't know exactly when she got started.
So where does one, I see she does a lot with, like, old Atari controllers. Where does one find these old Atari controllers?
I don't know. She's like always looking for stuff. She said that she used to live in L.A. Or Oakland. I can't remember. Or both. I don't know. She's been, we talked so long, I can't remember all the spots she lived. But she said that their guitar center would have stuff in the dumpster all the time. Like just random gear that sometimes wasn't even broken. And she'd just get it out of there. But the Atari controller, she said she just, you know, just keeps her eye out, like pawn shop. She's like, I got containers full of this stuff just all over the place.
She has a, I don't remember what they were called. They were like a sort of a, I don't even know what to call them. But it's a device that's in it. So that's not very descriptive for podcasts, apparently. But you basically, there's a button you press, and you can talk, and it comes on to a different, similar device in a different person's house.
Sort of like an intercom.
Sort of like an old intercom type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think technically it's more like AM, FM. I assume. No, it'd be FM, wouldn't it? It'd be FM. So that's fun. That's wild. That's just amazing. She's putting effects and things like that. And I mean, that's where the nostalgia gets me, because I remember as a little kid thinking that would be so cool if we had an intercom system in our house. That way I can yell down at mom that I'm ready for my peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Right. Without having to walk down there.
Right.
Little did we know that we would be texting each other from the other room in 2020. We didn't know that was going to be a thing.
My kids do not like how it's convenience for, you know, for dad, because I could be like, hey, you need to come down here and take this trash out, like, right now.
Mm-hmm. And you know they're on their
shutting,
phone.
Right, or I'm shutting the internet off and your phone plan.
I will disconnect the Wi-Fi, so help me. I'll do it.
Don't you make me change this Wi-Fi password. I will.
I'll do it. Oh, man. Weird times. Yeah, I saw a meme float around probably on Facebook. I don't know where I saw it, but it's like, teachers in the 90s, you're not always going to have a calculator in your pocket, so you need to learn these times tables.
Yeah.
And it's like 2020, like, hey, we got an iPhone. It's a lot more than a calculator.
Yeah. I mean, that's very true. I was often told that.
I was all the time. So I had a calculator watch.
That's right.
Like, you're not always going to have that. And I was like, it's a watch. Why wouldn't I have it?
Right. If it breaks, I buy another one. Of course I'm going to have a calculator watch.
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't I?
I wonder if people even make... Do they even make calculator watches anymore? It's probably like some little niched thing that costs $10,000 now.
I bought one... I want to say it was... probably 7 years ago, I bought a calculator watch from this like small company online. I don't even remember what they were called. But yeah, they were around at least that long ago. I bought it because it was just like, haha, this is hilarious. You can buy a calculator watch still.
Oh yeah. I just Googled it. Apparently Walmart.com has them for $20.
Sweet.
I'm gonna need buy a calculator one.
Watch. Yeah, let's get one.
Wear that mug in a video, you know?
Sorry, I didn't mean to flex on y'all so hard.
That's right. Hold on, let me just check the impedance on my calculator watch.
Talk about flexing for the gram. Show up with your calculator watch. Kids are going to lose their minds.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. I love that.
Oh, the places we go on this episode.
I'll start looking up.
Or on this podcast in general, I suppose.
So when is low sounds going to put an effect in a calculator watch? That's the real question we have here.
We need a fuzz in the calculator watch.
That's right.
Get on that, Aisha. Get on it.
All right. So let me get back to my notes here. You were telling me about a tape echo. You just did a video on a tape echo, and you changed the tape in it.
Oh, right? Yeah. So this is a little bit of a story. So... probably, I don't know, a couple months ago, I don't remember exactly when, I posted like the insides of my Evans, what do they call it? Super Echo. Yeah, Evans Super Echo is like this old Japanese market tape delay. And I just posted the insides of the tape going around in circles on Instagram because it looks cool. And I was like, most people don't ever get to see this, so I'm going to show people. And there's a company in Australia called Echofix. They recently came out with a new tape echo, but their specialty is in, for years, they were like the place to go for parts for your Echoplex or your Space Echo. They made new rollers and all that stuff. And I actually played Andy Martin's, you know, this is pre-pandemic, obviously. Andy Martin has an Echoplex with a bunch of their parts that was serviced by a guy named Brian Sowers here in Portland. And it's like the most incredible tape delay I've ever played. But anyway, the Echofix people saw my video and they messaged me. They're like, hey, just so you know, the tape that's in there is wrong and it will wear out your rollers and stuff prematurely. So we're going to send you some tape. I was like, oh, cool. And so what I did on YouTube is I played some stuff with the old tape, then right there on the video, changed the tape out, put in the new tape, and then tried to play kind of the similarly styled stuff. I actually intended to do a looper and just loop it, but I accidentally deleted my loop when I was, like, changing the tape. So that didn't really work. But, yeah, there's a pretty clear difference. Like, you can – it's not subtle at all. You can really hear a difference in the new tape. And, yeah, most people seem to prefer the new tape. But if people want to go check that out, it's over on YouTube. I think it's called, like – I don't remember, something about can a new tape fix an old tape echo or something like that.
Hmm.
It was a fun video.
I'll have to check that out.
I think people will be really surprised how much it changes things. I mean, obviously the main reason to swap it was to not wear my machine out any more than necessary, but there's definitely a sonic difference there too.
Are people still buying the... what's it called? The full tone tape echo unit. Maybe it's just called tape echo, I forget.
I think they had the tube tape echo
and the solid state tape echo.
They had both of them.
Are they still making those? Or is anyone making like a current tape echo machine? I know T-Rex made kind of a cassette type, but I don't think they are anymore.
Echofix down there in Australia has a brand new one.
Echofix?
Yep. Yeah, they let's see. Andy did a video on it. It sounds incredible, like, and it looks really, really rad. It's not cheap, but they are like the tape echo experts. And if anybody's going to make a quality new one, I would trust them over pretty much anybody.
Echofix. Let me look this up here. Delay. Man, that's $2,650.
Oh, yeah. Not cheap at all.
Oof. Looks fantastic, though.
It looks so cool, doesn't it? It's just like, wow, that is a pretty piece of equipment.
Yeah, that looks fantastic.
But they are also, you know, if you have, you know, there are, so let's back up a little bit. These Evans tape echoes, the one that I have, they're available. Like, they're not the most common thing in the world, but if you really want a tape delay, you can find that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of other brands, too. I think mine was 500 in working condition. So,
is it based off of something else? Do you know?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I would guess it's based off an Echoplex based on how it works and function, but I really can't say that for sure.
And yours is solid state, right?
Yes, mine's solid state. And then I also have another tape echo that's cassette-based as well. Well, my Evans is not cassette-based, sorry. I was referring to the T-Rex one. But I have another one that's a Univox tape delay that supposedly is the same model that Van Halen used on the Eruption solo, supposedly. Hmm. But it's called the Univox EC80. And it sounds absolutely fantastic. The problem is they're notoriously, like, finicky and, like, even more so than an Echoplex or something. They're, like, notoriously kind of janky. And so I don't use it very often. I just use it once in a while. But I got that for, like, $200.
Now you got me eyeing this Echofix. I better close this browser down. Get rid of this browser tab completely.
you could get in trouble. Get yourself in trouble.
That's a great way to lose some zeros in your checking account.
Mm-hmm. It's like I could get a new guitar or a tape delay. Well, you got a lot of guitars already there, Brian. I can see them in the background. So maybe you do need a tape delay.
Bills this month, or just hear me out. I could buy a new tape echo.
I think you should buy a tape echo. You should.
I mean, who needs to pay their mortgage, really? I mean, do we really need to do that in this
day
and age?
I mean, you got like 6 months before they'll actually kick you out. It'll be fine.
We'll figure it out in a couple months.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Wait for that new stimulus to come around.
Hurry up. We need that stimulus check so we can all buy tape echoes.
Right. Hopefully it's right around 2,500-ish. I'm hoping, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but anyways, yeah. That's awesome, man. I didn't know that existed. I'm so, not I wouldn't say behind, but there's just so many new products out that I haven't even seen.
It's hard to keep up, man. I think that I'm plugged into things and then like, oh yeah, so this is, you know, just kind of rumor at this point, but I feel like I'm pretty plugged into things, but then I see Joel posting something, Joel from Chase Bliss, posting something about, he's like, and there's a rumored collaboration that we're going to do with, or that we may be doing with another company coming up. And I didn't have any idea what he was talking about, but leave it to the people in the Tone Mob Facebook group to come to the rescue. And the, you know, Mr. Zachary Vex posted a little mysterious thing on his Facebook page. It said, there was once a young engineer that I hired to work at my company, and he went on to form a company of his own that's very successful. And he's like, we're going to be doing a collaboration with them soon. And it's like, I wonder who that could be, Zach. Yeah, it's not exactly a secret that Joel was formerly at ZVEX back in the day.
That's been a while ago.
Oh, yeah, that was feels like a different life.
Yeah, it's a whole different world since then, obviously.
Yep. But, and Joel did the, I think he did the Instant Lo-Fi Junkie for them. I think that was one of his, like, more well-known designs over there. Pretty sure that was his.
That's wild. I didn't know that was his.
I think, so, I don't quote me on that. That's going from memory, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
So, to close this out, there is a, I guess you can call it kind of a comic strip that was sent to us by, trying to find his name. Where did it go? Sergey. I'm going to mess this up. Sergey Sakharov?
Sukalov? Or I don't know. I don't have it in front of me anymore.
Anyways.
Sorry, right, so Sergey.
I sent him a message to try to get an appropriate link to put in the description for this podcast. So make sure you check it out. It's really, really well done. And it's basically an entire little comic strip page about Blake and I doing the Chasing Tone podcast. And we're on a spaceship that looks like a fuzz pedal.
Yes. Yes.
And the detail to it is amazing. He's got me in cargo shorts with hairy legs and white New Balances.
Yes.
It's hilarious. It's fantastic.
I was showing that to Lynn, and I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, this guy, he definitely listens to the show very closely. He's got all these little details in there. And even, like, the one part where we're podcasting, it's like,
yes,
we've definitely said both of those things many times.
Yeah, I mean, it's just basically this one little section. We're sitting in this spaceship shaped like a fuzz pedal with all kinds of guitars and amps around us. And it has me saying, so today I'm a bit caffeinated, so this episode may stray a little bit. And Blake says, when aren't you and when doesn't it?
And then, like, in the scene where we're walking, you've got a Telecaster on your back and I've got a Les Paul. Like, he nailed
yes.
it.
Yes. So anyways, I'm gonna try to get a link for everyone so they can see this as well. I think it might be on his Instagram page, but I don't know what that link is yet. So anyways, look in the show notes and we should have it in there.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, I did save the file and he told me I could post it. So
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yes. I don't know where I'm gonna post it yet. I haven't figured out what the best place for that would be. But
okay. Well, in that case, yeah, I can put a Dropbox or link up or Google Drive. Or
oh yeah, that's probably like the that. Move. Let's do that.
Yeah. So but I would love to have somewhere to point people back to, as you know, to his website or wherever he's doing his art.
Yeah, because he just sent this to us via email, so we don't really know anything right. else beyond that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So thanks, Sergey.
And thanks to everyone for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email me at podcast@wamplerpedals.com. I'll personally get your email. And to email Blake, just simply go to, type in, info@tonemob.com, and he'll personally get your email. Now, what he does with it after then, I have no idea, but he'll get it at least. If you like this podcast, make sure to share it with your friends, bandmates, and others who might be into somewhat guitar-based podcasts. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way, and probably the best way, is just simply to share it with your friends and send us checks with lots of money.
We have tape echoes to buy.
So we have especially checks made out for about $2,500. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.